Of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Jose, I think you can go a little louder. Thanks. My glasses. Yeah. That's better. So this, as you have guessed, is Palm Sunday. But you wouldn't know it based on Luke's version of the story. Luke has no mention of palms. All four gospel writers write about this day, and only Luke leaves out the palms. Now, we've come to understand palms as symbols of peace, like a dove, but they were most often used for military parades. Palms were an expression of liberation and victory, and the expectation of the people is that Jesus has come to liberate them from the Roman rulers. And Luke leaves out the palms because Luke is concerned with a different kind of liberation, one that is born from peace and one that dies in peace. We hear that. We hear that from the beginning of this morning's scripture in reference to Zechariah's prophecy. If Jesus is to do this entrance right, then he needs to do it the way the prophet has prophesied. The Messiah must come with a good entrance. And Zechariah says it's going to happen this way. He says, "See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim, and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and the river to the ends of the earth." He will proclaim peace to the nations. And before the actual humble entry, Luke begins this scripture with this very odd scene of acquiring a donkey, a colt. They're used synonymously here. And basically, Jesus sends two of his disciples to go and steal one, to untie one. And this word untie is used four times. This was pointed out to me by Karma in our weekly Bible study. And so we looked up the word. And the word can mean literally to loosen or unbind, but it can also be used figuratively to release what has been held back. So this donkey, on which, according to Jesus, no man has ever sat on before, will be released. And what has been held back and tied up will now ride into Jerusalem, the city of peace. In other words, peace through Jesus Christ will be released into Jerusalem, the city of peace. So I say again, Luke is most concerned with peace. And if that's not enough, let's go back to the beginning of Luke's gospel, to Christ's birth. First, with this word multitude. Now, Luke tells us that there was a multitude of disciples at Jesus's entry into Jerusalem. But Luke was a preacher, you know. You ask any preacher how many were there on Sunday, and they'll tell you a multitude. Now, that should sound familiar. There were also a multitude at Christ's birth, only it was a multitude of angels. Today it's a multitude of disciples. But Luke doesn't stop there. He brings us to a distant melody of the angels' song that was sung at birth. Do you remember the song that they sang to the shepherds? The angels sang, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." And then in this morning's scripture, Luke is echoing this song, only he changes the words. And the disciples shout, "Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. Luke rewrote the words of the angel's song. Peace on earth got changed to peace in heaven. Why would he do that? As Jesus enters into his final week towards the cross, peace is moving on to the heavenly realm. But peace has yet to be accomplished here on earth, and we know this in the verses that we didn't hear this morning. They come next when Jesus will weep over Jerusalem, lamenting, if you, even you, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. If you only knew the things that make for peace. But the lament, that's tomorrow's story. It hangs over our heads because we know how this week is going to turn out. We know Good Friday is coming. We know Holy Saturday is coming, but we're not there yet. Now today we waved palms thanks to the choir, and we look at this beautiful cross covered in them. We sing Hosanna. We sing our own song and hope for peace. Because as followers of Jesus Christ, we've become the multitude. We're the multitude now. And Luke rewrites the angel's songs so that we would sing that song now. Whether you're an angel or a disciple, if you're here today, you're part of the multitude. And if Luke rewrites the angel's song to carry peace up to heaven, it's because peace is everywhere now, in the same way that Christ is everywhere on Easter, becoming one with us, within us, and surrounding us. But as part of the multitude, we are left behind to fulfill the mission of the one who was peace incarnated at birth. Are you with me? I know it's a lot. There's so much in this scripture going on. So basically, so far, the recap is earthly peace has been changed to heavenly peace because we, the multitude, are to now fulfill Christ's mission of bringing peace to earth. Okay? Okay. On Friday, a few of us went over to the seminary. Michael, Kathleen, and Janet met some folks over there for the kickoff of the Shaw Chaplaincy Institute for Spiritual Care and Compassionate Leadership. And the Institute's director, the Reverend Dr. Lori Garrett Cabina, spoke, and I don't remember her exact words, but they were centered around one very simple idea. It's about caring. I understood her basic point to be this, that everything worthwhile is worthwhile because you care about it. Whether it's people or your work or this world, we do what we do because we care. So as part of the multitude, we do what we do because we care. And because we follow into Jerusalem the one who cared so much he was willing to die for us. So Luke rewrites the angels' songs so that we would sing it now. And biblically, angels have many roles. You know, they're messengers, they're holy warriors, they're witnesses, they're worshipers. But most importantly for Luke's Jesus, they are protectors. They are protectors of those who need the most. And the Jesus we follow is most concerned for the lowest, for those in need, those who are hungry or without shelter, or who are sick, or who are victims of larger systems of injustice and oppression. So as part of the caring multitude, you have a song to sing, and it's the same song as the angels, only it comes with a responsibility to carry out what Jesus began here on earth. Peace was not accomplished when Jesus rode into Jerusalem. Division was prevalent. And Jesus in chapter 12 in Luke says this himself. He says, "Do you think that I've come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division." Or as Reverend Amy Allen writes, "Such division, however, does not properly come from Jesus himself, but rather is ingrained in the fabric of his society by the Roman colonial powers. In order to maintain control over such a vast domain, the Roman Empire engaged in a system of divide and conquer, pitting local groups against one another. In the case of the first century Jewish population of Palestine, this was achieved through a systematic undermining of the religious leadership. The same systems of divide and conquer are being used today. There's an undermining of all groups of people whenever there's name calling or other calling. And seeds of division are being planted all around us. And the shouting that we take on as disciples, as part of the multitude, is not about whether or not it's true. It should be about holding those who make those statements accountable for trying to pit us against one another. And the shouting should be over all those incendiary statements that have been allowed to become the norm. Seeds of fear and intolerance are being planted multiple times a day by all sides, and they're being used to divide us. So to sing the angels' song of peace, to shout the disciples' song of peace, is to sing of unity in diversity. As part of the multitude following Christ, our song is his song. As followers of Jesus Christ, it's to care for the least of those among us. To bring peace in Luke's gospel means caring enough to speak up for those who have no voice. And when you do that, you simultaneously expose corrupt powers and systems of injustice. Why? Because you care. Because we care deeply. Now, Luke rewrites the angel's songs so that we would sing it now. And we sing it through service, and we sing it by reaching out to the greater community, and we sing it by reaching out to one another in times of need, but we also sing it by holding those who are attempting to divide us accountable. This is Palm Sunday. This is probably the most political Sunday we have on our liturgical calendar. So if you're hearing the not-so-subtle overtones, it's because that's the day, that's the very political day in our Bible, and it speaks to us today. Don't allow people to divide us. This isn't a military parade for Luke, it's a peace march. And Jesus is calling on us to be the multitude of angels and disciples in a world filled with division, to mend and to heal and to listen and to care. And to do so at times with respect and patience, but other times to shout, because if we don't, even the stones would shout for us. That's Jesus' response to the Pharisees when they say, "Could you tone it down a little bit? You know, the rulers over there are not going to like your political overtones. They're calling you king. That's undermining what we're trying to do by controlling everybody." And Jesus says, "No, if they didn't shout, the stones would shout." to sing the angel's song of peace, to shout the disciples' song of peace. Luke rewrites it so we would sing it. There are so many songs in Luke's gospel. Do you remember them all? Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, has a song. And Mary has a song. And then Simeon has a song. Remember him? Simeon is the old man, righteous and devout, Luke tells us, who's just hanging around the temple. Just as many of the old faithfuls keep hanging around old churches, despite the turnover of pastors, or the infighting, or the dislike for the sermon, the division. The old faithfuls are there caring for the church because they ultimately care about God more than any of that. And so Mary and Joseph bring their baby to fulfill the covenant with God, and there's Simeon. And Simeon takes this baby in his arms and praised God, singing this: Sovereign Lord, as you promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. That's the good news. But then Simeon looks at Mary, and I imagine he looks at her with a kind of broken heart, sympathetically. And I imagine that hymn, Silent Night, playing in the background. Because I can hear those angels singing, you remember? They were singing of peace on earth, but our hymn tells us they were singing of heavenly peace, only it's a different kind of heavenly peace now. They're not singing over a baby. They're singing over a grown man. The man who cared so much, so ultimately for us, that he was willing to die for us. And as that song is playing, Simeon turns to Mary, the young woman who gave birth to him, and then he says, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. Some of those hearts will reveal cruelty in our culture, and others will reveal love." The angel song is rewritten so that you may sing it now. Amen.